It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She is in Switzerland as a country and closer to Zurich as a city, possibly. And is that good?
Perfect.
Oh, good. And what's going on? Tell us something different.
Well, yeah, it's difficult to find something different these days. Hello to you and everybody. So I'm not going to talk about something absolutely amazingly different, but because we talked about the Italian situation a few weeks ago, I was thinking of giving a little update. Just because Italy is actually the European Union's third largest economy, behind Germany and France, and therefore the fate of Italy is not irrelevant for the future of the European Union. So we left it at a departure that was Conte, the prime minister, who has been basically taking care of the entire last year pandemic in a way that has been actually quite praised. Pragmatic, he's a very pragmatic man, and his solutions were at times perceived as very tough, but so was the situation in Italy altogether. Let's not forget that it was one of the country really badly hit from COVID-19 at the very beginning, and they reached altogether 90,000 casualties, which is definitely up there in Europe. The problem was the following. The European Union decided, as we know, for a post-COVID-19 economy fund, and Italy is supposed to receive a little bit more than 200 billion for recovery. Obviously, everybody had its own idea when it comes to how to spend that money in order to boost the economy. And the way that Giuseppe Conte was thinking of didn't please everybody, and that was the beginning of the end for that government, as he lost with that some precious allies, and the coalition was not complete anymore. So the president would have had the choice. The president of Italy is the one that decide on what to do in such a case. And admittedly, Italy went through this process many times. And his choice would have been between calling for new elections or deciding on a new prime minister that would be liked enough to have a coalition on its own. He decided for a new prime minister. That is quite obvious, the reason being that this is still a pandemic, and to have elections request a lot of work, a lot of organization, and could potentially also put again a lot of people at risk. That is something that the president didn't want to do. And his choice went to an extremely popular figure in Italy and in Europe. That is Mario Draghi, the former head of the European Central Bank. And with him, his 23 members cabinet that he chose. So Mario Draghi is a technocrat. He's not a politician in that sense, which means very much that for him, what counts are results. He wants to deliver some good results, as he's not interested in re-election. He's basically there to save the situation, the same way he put all his strengths, work and talent into saving the European Union in 2011. For that reason, he is sometimes even called Super Mario, in reference to the Nintendo figure that is also very liked. So what's important also to know is that those 200 billion that the European Union has decided to eventually give to Italy depends on the plan that the new prime minister will give by the end of April. It is not a blank check. It is in Europe they need a plan that also follows some of their own guidelines. To just give one example, 37% of the amount has to go in transition to greener economy. So it means that what the European Union wants to avoid is to just give a huge amount of money and not know really where it's going to be spent, how it's going to be spent, and have a situation that basically doesn't necessarily improve with time. So the plan will be done. He's already working on it. He also agreed on a new position for a Ministry of Ecological Transition, which was a request from the five-star party. But I did not see any name yet, so I don't know if it's still in the making or if there is some issue with that. In any case, a few people in his cabinet, a few people are pure politicians and others are technocrats. So he was very careful in doing a healthy, reasonable mixture of people with different interests. We can give a few examples. For the Minister of Industry, it would be Giancarlo Giorgetti, which belongs to the League Party, in far right. Luigi Di Maio for the Foreign Ministry, which is from the Five Star Party. And Daniele Franco as economy minister, and is the current director of the Bank of Italy. So we can see that in the main positions, he was very careful to choose people from different backgrounds and possibly with the best talent in the duties that they are going to have. He also talked briefly about the necessity of doing some reforms on the tax system, on justice, and on public administration, though I would say that knowing Italy and the kind of disputes that can arise when it comes to this kind of topic and the kind of reforms that are necessary, it's going to be difficult even for Super Mario to find a common ground. But of course, that is a pessimistic view on it, and there is also very much so the possibility that he is able to find a common thread with all of these different parties and different opinions. So the bottom line would be that Italy is saved for the moment. It has a new government, one that is liked by a large majority of Italians, which is not easy to achieve, and one that has also a chance of success, considering the past history of Mario Draghi, the new prime minister.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.